Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Even with today's public health concerns, the competition for talented workers continues for American cities. And given those concerns over coronavirus today, perhaps the competition for talented remote workers has grown even keener. Today, there are a number of cities and states that are luring remote workers to work from their locale. In Tulsa, it's Tulsa Remote, which is slightly different in that it's funded through a private foundation, the George Kaiser Family Foundation, which also supports Public Radio Tulsa. Last year, a little over 100 families out of over 10,000 applicants joined up with Tulsa Remote and moved to Tulsa. This year, Tulsa Remote plans to offer around 250 individuals and families around $10,000 paid out over several years, as well as free co-officing space to make the move to Tulsa. Well, how's it working out? My guest today is the executive director of Tulsa Remote, Aaron Belsley, who tells us how the community benefits from these new Tulsans and how the remote workers themselves are benefiting from the move, well beyond the tangible rewards. Aaron Belsley, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
How is Tulsa Remote working out so far? You're now in your second year. You've already had a class that's come through, and you're taking applications on a revolving basis looking for remote workers to come to Tulsa. How's it working out?
It's been pretty amazing. I think the first year blew away all expectations, and we're coming into the second year, and it's not slowing down at all. We've been thrilled with the response that we've received with the next round, and we're really excited to see the new group integrate into Tulsa the same way that the first group did.
So how do you judge success with a program like this?
I think there are multiple ways to judge success. In the beginning, one of the greatest things that happened from this program was just exposure on all that's happening in Tulsa. I think Tulsa has suffered from a lack of perception in the rest of the country. And I'm from Tulsa. I grew up here, but then I left and lived on both coasts. And I was consistently one of the first people anybody had ever met from Tulsa. And I got to be an advocate and an ambassador to the city and kind of dispel some of the ideas that they potentially had about my hometown. And I think what's been really great about this program is we've had enormous exposure, and so many people have learned about our great city. So that's the first. The second is these individuals that we're attracting are coming in and getting involved extremely quickly, and they're lending their voices to the leaders that are already here on issues that they care about. They are actively consuming in our city, both from housing and from restaurants and retail. So they're adding to the economy, but more importantly, they're bringing their incredibly strong skill sets that they've learned in other places to our city, and connections to companies that are actively hiring remote workers. A remote worker is an individual that works for a major company or is self-employed, but has the flexibility to work from wherever. And a lot of these individuals work for major companies that are actively hiring. And we've seen people in Tulsa hired from these companies since they arrived.
So once a worker from a particular company comes in, they come up with the social networks. They say, we're going to have some openings. And they encourage them to apply the same way?
Exactly. And on top of that, some companies' HR teams don't list Oklahoma as a state where they can recruit because they haven't set up the tax laws for that company in that state.
But once somebody moves here...
Exactly. Now that HR representative sees Oklahoma as a list of places where they can recruit. And so these jobs listings that are geo-flexible are now listed as Oklahoma as a potential option.
Yeah. Now, you had over 10,000 applicants in the first year. For how many slots ended up in that first year?
When we first launched the program, it was an experiment. George Kaiser Family Foundation was constantly thinking about ways to attract talented people. There's been so much focus from the city leaders on how to make this city much more exciting, vibrant, and inclusive to the worker of today and tomorrow. They were coming up with ideas on how to get that word out. I think we thought we'd probably bring in 20 to 25 the first year. But as you said, after receiving 10,000 applications in 10 weeks, we shut down the application process. We were still receiving 125 applications a day. We just needed to go through them and process it and get back to the people who had already applied. We decided with the caliber of person who applied, the best thing for us to do was to expand it. And we ended up inviting 100 people to move the first year. Not everybody took us up on the offer. You know, not everybody was in the end able to move, but in total, 115 people with partners and family moved to Tulsa through the first year.
And how many are you planning to add to the second year?
Well, with the success of the first year and seeing how it's blown away every expectation, we decided that the best thing was to expand it to 250. So with partners, that could be 400 people coming into town. That's what's really interesting is these remote workers, also many of them have partners who are either remote workers or adding their amazing skill sets to the community as well.
Yeah. Earlier, you were saying when you judge success, exposure was one big key component. It's interesting how the city, you know, when you look at the history of the city, this it's come full circle. This is going back to the days of in the 30s and 40s when you'd have these Tulsa trains going off to the East Coast, again, touting what Tulsa had to offer. It's almost, this is a 21st century of this same process again, this unique sort of Tulsa boosterism in a way.
I love that you use that comparison because, as I mentioned, I've spent so much time on the coast talking about what's so amazing about this city. And I think that history is long and memory is short. And there's so many amazing things that Tulsa has led on in the past. And it's really exciting to see the city starting to lead again on the future. And we're regularly asked to be part of conversations about the future of economic development and the future of workforce all across the country and all across the world.
You know, one of the things that I was just speaking the other day to a group and they were asking me about, you know, what's happening with Tulsa. And I said, you know, the one thing I think we got away from our mindset of, you know, there's the typical questions people ask newcomers to Tulsa the first time they visit. And it's almost, there's this tone of, do we measure up? Is it good enough? And I think in the last decade or two, we've kind of quit worrying about what other people think of Tulsa and really have tried to design our city, our attractions for what appeals to us in the first place. And once you have that in place and you are appealing to your city citizens, it becomes more attractive to outsiders. I'm wondering how this program fits in with that, or is it counterintuitive to that, or both?
I believe that Tulsa has so much to be proud of. There's still so much work to be done, but really Tulsa doesn't need to compare itself. And Tulsa is becoming its own thing. And even in the last 2 years that I've been back since moving back, I've seen the pride in the city swell. And that's palpable for individuals who come into Tulsa. These individuals are coming from major cities all across the country, and they are consistently blown away. They have expectations, but those expectations are blown away. And we really, I think that this program, because we're bringing such exciting, diverse individuals from all across the country into one place, just adds to what makes this city so special.
At the same time, we don't want to be Pollyannish and sort of gloss over our issues the city has. I assume every applicant who's looking at this city tries to go in with their eyes wide open.
That is a proactive conversation that we have. And it's actually part of what attracts the individuals to the program. You know, with as many people that we've had apply, we've been able to select individuals that have shared a passionate desire to have a positive effect on a community. And while they're here, we have them come and visit. And while we tour them, we show them the city. We give them plenty of time to check out the city on their own. The vast majority of the time is them checking out the city on their own and connecting with people. But we do a tour of the city, and we dig into extremely complicated issues. We dig into the history of TDA and UCAT. We dig into the centennial coming up. We dig into the parking crater that we have in downtown Tulsa because urban renewal was so great around here. We talk about all of those things because they are opportunities for these individuals to lend their voices to conversations that are happening. You know, Tulsa is not unique in a lot of the issues that we are struggling with, but we are unique. I feel that we are at a point where there are people who are willing to have those authentic, vulnerable conversations about true resiliency. And these individuals that are coming through the program are excited to be part of that conversation.
So what are you looking for in a successful Tulsa remote applicant? There's only a few requirements. You have to be 18 or over. You have to have a full-time remote job. You know, beyond that, you know, it's not a whole lot of requirements. So, but what are you looking for in a successful applicant?
We purposefully tried to remove as many barriers and individuals applying for the program, so we didn't have any real hard requirements. What we did is we really focused on the way that we presented the program to hope that we were attracting the right types of individuals. And we also tried to remove all unconscious and implicit bias through the application process so that we would receive the type of diverse, incredible applicants that we received. When we're reviewing these applications, we're looking for individuals that will have a positive impact in Tulsa. That could be that they work for really amazing companies that haven't had a footprint in Tulsa before and are actively hiring and excited to grow their teams. It could be that they are extraordinarily passionate about nonprofit organizations that exist in Tulsa or issues that need to be resolved in Tulsa. It could just be a person who has a love for community and is an amazing connector and happens to have a really great remote job that allows them the flexibility. Having lived on the coasts, being from Tulsa, I think a lot of people in Tulsa take for granted how strong our community is. And for individuals that leave town and move to the coasts, a lot of the time their community is based in the office. And when these remote workers start working remotely, they either did it by choice because they loved the flexibility, or their company chose to make them remote because it saved money. Either way, over time, isolation happens and there's dissatisfaction in living situation. And we have a really amazing opportunity to leverage what Tulsa has in spades to attract the future worker of tomorrow today.
I know Tulsa Remote, actually, it's not just so much, you know, you provide them help and getting them established, you give them office space, but I assume you're also like a networking and office space at 36 degrees north, right?
That's right. So when we put together this program, $10,000 got people's attention.
Sure.
And it's a substantial amount of money, but the talented worker from the coasts are not going to move to a city that they don't want to be in for $10,000. There are significant costs associated to moving, especially if they have families. So the goal was to try to remove risk in moving. The real benefit comes after they move. They receive, as you mentioned, co-working space membership at 36 Degrees North, which is a partner of ours in the Arts District. We give them access to different housing options through our housing portal on the site. And we also have a few realtors that we work with that can help people identify the right housing options for them. But the bigger questions are the ones that people don't normally think about. You know,
how do you create a social network?
Where do I get good tacos in Tulsa? Right? Where do I get my hair cut? Who's going to work on my car? But more importantly, how am I going to meet people? And are they going to be welcoming? Are they going to accept me? Am I going to find my type of people here? And I think that's what makes Tulsa really special, is that we are becoming more and more inclusive and vibrant. And there are people of all types of backgrounds and ideologies that are coming together in downtown. And that's the kind of environment that the talented worker that we're seeing wants to be a part of. So I think it's a pretty exciting thing in that way.
That's what I was getting at, is actually Tulsa Remote sort of helps break the ice for some of those social networks.
We don't really handle any aspect of their job. So everything that we do is focused on their social life. It's helping them get connected to different individuals in Tulsa or get them connected to organizations in Tulsa. We always say that we do events for a few different reasons, either a sense of belonging and community within Tulsa Remote, but we don't want to create a subculture. So the second thing is a pathway to connect to individuals in Tulsa or Tulsa as a whole. The third is an opportunity to be exposed to organizations where you can lend your voice and have a sense of purpose. Being part of a community means having pathways to be a mentor and to be a mentee. And I think that what we're building is something that has potentially been missing in the ecosystems that they existed in before they came to Tulsa.
You said we don't want to create a subculture. Now you have this group and you also have Tulsa Artist Fellowship.
That's right.
And some other where you have the possibility of creating this sort of subculture. How do you avoid that?
Well, the first thing that you do is that you ensure that the people that you're bringing in aren't coming to Tulsa with a passion to take the lead immediately with trying to make change. There are so many talented leaders here in Tulsa that have been working tirelessly for a long time to affect positive change. And so the way that you avoid that subculture is by connecting those individuals to those leaders and setting those individuals up for success to help support what's already happening. So that's a big way. The other way is that we're not involved with where they live. They make that choice. So they're automatically living in communities and integrating on a regular basis with people from the larger city. We do have ways that the group can connect with each other, both online and in person. But the vast majority of time, they are not interacting with Tulsa Remote as a program. They're interacting with each other and with other people from the community that they meet. And we are constantly looking for opportunities to partner with organizations in Tulsa to get them more and more connected. We have an event happening later this month with the Teach for America Alumni Association. We'll work with City Year and other tech companies and organizations. So if there are other organizations that would like to partner with us, we'd be very open to discussing that.
One of the ways you're judging success is by that ability to connect in the community and getting involved in the community. Is there a particular success story you want to share?
Well, I had the pleasure last night of seeing a play at Studio 308 by one of our first participants, a gentleman named Obum Ukabem, who has done an incredible job of getting involved in Tulsa in every single way. He was an active member of 36 Degrees North. He volunteers his time as a debate coach, which is just amazing to elementary school students. He has written this incredible play as a thank you to Tulsa after his first year. And he has now gotten a job at the Holberton School, which is the new coding school that just opened up.
Right.
So he has made a choice to not only select Tulsa as his future home, but has spent the first year investing in Tulsa in every way that he can. And his wife has followed suit as well. His wife started working at the Vista, which is the restaurant at Gathering Place, and has just recently been accepted into Kitchen 66, the food entrepreneurial incubator that exists.
So she's got an idea for her own business.
Exactly.
And I assume
it's called Curds and Whey, and it's a catering service, and it's pretty amazing.
So obviously, that's what you would judge long-term success with this story.
The long-term success are individuals that choose to make Tulsa their home indefinitely. Because those individuals that get connected and integrated, they are bringing connections to other individuals and other ideas from all over the country. And I always say that you want there to be a current. You want people flowing in. And this is just a really wonderful way for us to get that accomplished.
My guest today is Aaron Belsley. He's the executive director of Tulsa Remote. Tulsa Remote program now is in its second year, offering remote workers $10,000 and office space and some other perks to move to Tulsa and be a part of the community. And he's my guest today on Studio Tulsa. Well, you know, Tulsa's not alone in offering this sort of relocation service. I know New Haven, Connecticut has a program. Both the state of Vermont and Maine are offering similar programs. Those are, I think, more government-run than sort of private foundation-run for the most part, I think.
It's interesting that you say that. I mean, we're excited to see that there are a lot of different programs that are coming out that take a different angle at economic development and building community. Tulsa's program, Tulsa Remote, is fairly different. I like to say that our press releases might look a lot alike, but they're slightly different programming. As you mentioned, Vermont has a program where if people move into the state, they can be reimbursed up to $5,000 in 2 years, so $10,000 over the period of 2 years for relocation costs and setting up a home office.
There's other ones that deal with taking care of student loan debt, too.
Well, it's really exciting because there's a huge transition happening in workforce, and I just feel thrilled that Tulsa, as I mentioned, is kind of leading the way in this conversation. Historically, talent went where the jobs were. And for the first time, jobs are now going where the talent is. And as we continue to bring more and more people to Tulsa, that's the real opportunity for the city. Yes, there's an immediate impact of these individuals living and working in the city and all that they bring. But long term, this provides far more opportunity for the individuals that are here. And that's ultimately the reason why we're doing this. In a very short period of time, we're going to be able to greatly diversify the industry representation in this city. And bring in hundreds of companies that have never had a place in Oklahoma before, let alone Tulsa, which means that the individuals that are born in Tulsa who potentially don't have the privilege to leave will have more options and will no longer have to pick between chasing the career that they truly want or having the means to leave.
Mm. Now, that long-term aim of the program, is it attracting these remote workers, thinking that that is going to be a bigger part of our economy in the 21st century, or is it these remote workers who eventually build their own businesses or add talent to our existing business structure?
I think that predicting how remote work is going to affect the future of work is much like being in 1995 with your first desktop computer and wondering how many computers you're going to own. There was no real reason to own more than one. But now we have dozens of computers. Just how we define computers are different, and how we interact with technology changes. There are some times where you can answer an email on your phone. There are some times you can do it on an iPad. And there's sometimes that you need your laptop or your desktop to actually get the work done. And I think remote work in the future is going to be a lot like that. You know, there are more and more industries are going to embrace geo-flexibility in their workforce, not only because they need to attract the right talent, but because it just makes more sense. It's more environmentally friendly long term. There's no reason for people to exist in a situation where they have to drive back and forth for office if their job doesn't really require it. And we're at this growing pains point where companies are who have historically had big offices are having to learn how to manage communication and corporate culture with having remote teams. So what I see in the future is, like I said, with technology, we're going to leverage this in a way that makes most sense so that we can get the biggest bang for the time that we have on the projects that we're doing. And there are companies that are already modeled that way and have been modeled that way for quite a long time. And I think more will just do that more.
So out of the first 100-odd Tulsa Remote participants and the 250-odd that will participate in this coming year, how many of them do you expect to make Tulsa their long-term home?
You know, we don't ask them directly.
Sure.
Right? Right. You know, the goal is to remove as many barriers and to help them feel like they are building community and home. And I think reaching out to them saying, hey, have you decided what you're going to do? Doesn't really do that. But anecdotally, I've received a lot of really positive response. I think over 25 houses have already been purchased from the families in the first year. That's just
That's 25% or a little.
Actually quite a bit more. Mm-hmm. You know, I would say that the number is going to be pretty high. I don't think people moved here thinking that they were going to be here for a year, investing that time, and then leaving immediately. I think that there'll be people who choose to move. I think there'll be people who move for family reasons or relationship reasons or job reasons. But, you know, I think that the vast majority of people in the program have felt like this is a really positive experience, and if they had their way, would find their future in Tulsa. That's something that we have to work on, too, is these individuals that are coming in don't necessarily want to work remotely forever. And there are job opportunities in Tulsa, and we have to make sure that those job opportunities are competitive with the remote workforce as well.
Yeah, I can imagine, and I've heard a little bit of this, I'm sure you have too, that there are some pessimists that really say, oh, you know, people are going to game this. But, you know, when you really think about it, how many people, you know, it's an awful lot of work for $10,000 to pick up your household, move it to somewhere for a couple of years, and then move somewhere else. I'm wondering how you respond to those when you hear that sort of idea.
The first thing that I would say is that the $10,000 is not paid all at once.
Sure.
$2,500 is paid at the beginning, then they are paid $500 a month, and then $1,500 at the end. So it would be pretty difficult to game that system. Secondly, if a person has gotten to the point where we've confirmed their background, confirmed their employment and their consistent income, and gotten through all of the different interview stages and spends a year here, chances are it's going to be a positive thing no matter what. Even if they choose to leave later, they've still spent far more than $10,000 within the community. But it's not transactional. What's most important is that if that individual chose to leave, they become another person who's had really great experiences in Tulsa out in the rest of the country, continually changing perceptions of what's happening here. They get to say that American Solera is one of the best breweries that they've ever been to. They get to talk about Topeka Coffee Roasters or Double Shot. They get to talk about the amazing food scene that's growing here with Duet Restaurant, Amelia's, Oren. There's so many amazing things that are happening here. And each time I bring new people in, their expectations are blown away. There is no way that you can describe Gathering Place in print, in pictures, or on the radio. The minute they come in and they see what that park actually is to this city, they're forever changed. And they bring that to other people throughout the country.
I was going to ask you, what happens when the match between, you know, the worker and the city doesn't work out? I assume it's maybe a little early for that, but...
That's very true. And one of the things that we do that I think was unexpected is we bring them to Tulsa and check it out before they move. It does nobody any good for an individual for us to spend
resources
or time.
So the match ends before it begins.
Really. Sure. This is the real Tulsa. We're not selling anything. It would do no good for me to try to sell you something that didn't exist here. I actually want you to see the good, the bad, and the opportunity. Because for me, having lived in San Francisco and Boston and New York and being from here, what attracted me back to Tulsa was the opportunity that I could be part of making this city the city that I want it to be in the future, the city that I've always known it could be and that it's becoming. And I think that the people who are being attracted to this program share that same desire.
What are applicants looking like this year? I mean, the total applications, is it that 10,000 level, or is it higher or lower this year?
It's interesting. It is, I would say it's just on sheer numbers, it's lower. We're nearly at 20,000 applicants over the last 2 years combined, but we're a little bit under 10,000 for this year. We didn't get as much international press this year, which was probably a good thing. Last year, we had applications from 155 countries.
Wow.
We had over 2.5 or 3 billion in reach. For those people who know what that means.
All you have to do is Google Tulsa Remote and you see articles in Forbes and you know, Urban Hub and, you know, all sorts of...
There's a really wonderful in-depth article that was just released last Friday by CityLab that was one of the top trending stories on LinkedIn this week. That's a pretty amazing thing.
Well, we wish you great success. It sounds like you'll still have a lot of work to winnow it down to about 250. from nearly 10,000.
For sure. So as I was mentioning, we had a lot of people who applied internationally last year that weren't able to qualify. But this year, because of the fact that most of the press has been local or within the nation, the caliber is just as high, if not higher, than last year. And I don't think there's any question that we're going to bring in a lot of really amazing people this year.
All right. Well, we look forward to seeing them around and in the community, it sounds, because that's what happens when they become a part of Tulsa Remote. Well, Aaron, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Aaron Belsley is the executive director of Tulsa Remote. Tulsa Remote is now in its second year offering remote workers $10,000 in free office space to move to Tulsa. If you know someone who might be interested, their website is tulsaremote.com. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.